RunDNA has an extensive range of running and walking footwear. They're trusted by podiatrists and physiotherapists. The RunDNA fitter's advice is second to none. Pop into RunDNA, 20 Manton Street, Hindmarsh, or 391 Fullerton Road, Fullerton. They're open 7 days, plenty of off-street parking. If you walk or run, you need to RunDNA.
Welcome to Hooked on Sport. This is South Australia's weekly sports wrap, where we uncover the stories, personalities and moments that define sport across South Australia. It's time for Hooked on Sport with two-time Bradman medalist Ben Hook and state golf representative Sophie Hilditch.
Thanks, Wallace. G'day, Soph. And our footy club, a minor premiership since last we chatted.
I know. How exciting, Hooky. I cannot wait for these finals to begin. How about yourself?
I suspect it'll be against Collingwood. Well, it's certainly going to be against Collingwood. I reckon that'll be next Thursday night. So it comes around quick, doesn't it? That's 10 days away. We talk about the pre-finals bye, but there'll be plenty of build-up. Of course, we've got a Wednesday night game now, which will have an effect on the finals. Gold Coast playing Essendon, but yeah, can you believe it's going to be Adelaide and Collingwood just a couple of weeks after that tumultuous game a couple of weeks ago that was so close? And there was so much fallout from it with the Isaac Rankin issue. So these two clubs are going to be very, very spirited. I note with interest that Adelaide Oval is signing up more security for the night. So they are preparing for what's going to be, I think, a really spicy sort of battle. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm so excited for this one, Hooky. I think this is actually the perfect final to start off the final series for the Crows. I think there's going to be a bit of fire coming out with the Crows boys of everything that happened with Isaac Rankin. And I don't know about you, Hooky, but actually last time we played Collingwood, I lost my voice after that game because I was screaming so much at the umpires and everyone or anyone who would listen to me.
Nice to know it's always the umpires that take responsibility for whether things are good or poor in our lives. We always someone to blame, isn't it, the umpies? Hey, just while we're on Isaac Rankin, gone to Italy. What did you make of it? What did you make of the coverage of it?
Well, it's been pretty news-breaking, hasn't it? It's been pretty controversial. I mean, there's going to be a lot of differing opinions out there, and I'm sure you've got one yourself, Hooky.
Dishing me up a half volley outside off stump there. So, well, look, I think it's probably pretty reasonable in the circumstances. I imagine the Adelaide Football Club has sent him to Italy, making sure that he is very well catered for with training, diet, nutrition, all of those sorts of things. This is not going to be a simple holiday, but getting him away from the spotlight, I think, makes some sense. I've got to say one thing, though, Soph. I am really uncomfortable with the coverage. I saw the story last night on 7 News. That is clearly amateur vision that someone opportunistically on the same flight as Isaac has taken. They've taken it without his knowledge, and then I imagine they have solicited that to Channel 7, who's gone on and bought it. I would be very, very confident that they've paid some money for that vision. And I am really uncomfortable with that. I think it is absolutely newsworthy that he has left for Europe. I don't know where the public interest is in actually buying that vision and then putting that out into the public domain. I'm uncomfortable with that. I just feel like that was just a little bit grubby by Seven. And I reckon if that was me offered that vision, I would definitely run the story that he's left Australia. But I don't know that I'd use the vision or the photos that have been taken that are clearly not consensual.
Yeah, that's a great point, Hooky. I probably actually hadn't really turned my mind to that coverage point. And it's actually an excellent point that does look like it's been taken from a personal phone, doesn't it?
Let's get on to a few other issues. Pre-finals bye. So we're going to have some footy on Wednesday, but there'll be no AFL men's football this coming weekend. Do you like that or do you prefer the old days when we got straight into the final series?
I'm someone who personally prefers we just jump straight into it, Hooky. I like to ride that wave. I think the teams that are performing right now, the break's probably not the best thing for them, in my personal opinion. And I think we just need to jump straight in.
Yeah, look, I do agree from the perspective that it is nice to have a little bit of momentum, but I'm okay with this. I just find it's a bit of a refresher for everyone. It's a mini four-week season that we have going on from here. I think your point's well made that it is a slight disadvantage to the top four when you go week off, win, week off. But I just think keeping it a little bit more even and giving those bottom four sides of the eight a little bit more of an opportunity shouldn't be a disqualifier for the way this is played. I prefer this to a grand final bye. I still think two games next weekend would be ideal. And I've got to make the point that the Western Bulldogs look for every possibility that they're going to miss the finals with 14 wins from 23 matches. So I'd love to see a final 10. I've made this point on this show once, at least once before. But I don't mind the concept of let's just have a deep breath and then, yes, we've got four more weeks. Everyone go hell for leather. So we might just differ on that one a little bit. I'm looking forward to it. Hey, AFLW, it's in the swing, second week. Gee, it was hard watching, I've got to be honest. We saw four games with margins in excess of 70 points. There were six games where the winning team doubled the score of the losing team. Now, does the AFL just cop that sweet, or do we need to start to be a little bit more critical about it?
Yeah, look, I don't know if you got a chance to watch some of those games, but some of them were just absolute blowouts and pretty disappointing to watch. And look, I think they really do need to look at getting some changes to that league structure. Now, hear me out, Hookie, but I'm thinking...
Have you got a proposal for me?
I'm just putting it out there. But I'm thinking we need to look at trying to get maybe two AFLW league divisions with a promotion and relegation system. Just trialing it out for, say, maybe about 4 years. Let's just pinpoint that. But let's do a top 10 and a bottom eight with the 10th relegated from the first division. The first division finals be five teams, just like NFL.
I'm just trying to work this as you speak about it. So there's 18 teams in the competition, and you want to segregate this out into two leagues.
A top division and
a second division. 10 teams in the first division and 8 teams in the second division. That's where we're at?
Yep, that's bang on. Okay. That's exactly where I am. I'm thinking the first division, the finals be five teams, just like SANFL. And the bottom division plays prelims, so that's 2v3, and then there's a grand final.
So let's just say top division, there's a top five, and they play the SANFL four-week final series. So there'll be an elimination and a qualifying, two semis, a prelim, and a granny.
Yep.
Okay, yep.
Hang on. Now, I'm thinking the bottom and the relegation, there's a playoff between the last team in the top division and the winner of the bottom. Now, that will be 9 finals in total, which is exactly what the AFLW has just right now. Now, I'm thinking maybe this final structure and this league division is going to create some more interesting games, closer games, and maybe a bit more intriguing for our viewers.
Yeah, okay. Gee, it's fascinating. It's a great concept, Soph. You've done some work thinking this through. I do like the fact that for an interim period, we're going to see the better teams play the better teams more often and the lesser teams play the lesser teams a bit more often. I really love the concept of the battle for the club that is staying in the top division, taking on the top-ranked team out of the bottom division. So a couple of things I'm thinking about. What would happen with the draft? So let's say you're the number one draft pick and you're automatically consigned to the second division for at least the following year. That's probably one thing I would have to think about. How would the draft work? And then at what point would we say, yeah, okay, let's get back to 18 teams? You've sort of said 4 years, and I think that's probably pretty reasonable in the interim. But could this be an ongoing problem where we do see clubs that are really struggling and stuck down the bottom of the ladder for an extended period of time? Now, you know, the draft and salary cap are supposed to fix these sorts of things. But, as I'm ticking this over in my mind, two divisions of AFLW, a top five, a bottom three, the top team from the bottom, from the bottom eight plays against the bottom team from the top 10. Good. Yeah, I like it. Not going to argue with it. I'll think about that over the course of the next week and I'll try and come back. But I don't have too many criticisms of that at the moment, Soph. I like it. That would be something that I would think would be really interesting, would garner some interest, and there'd be some amazing finals at the end of all of that. All right. We're going to give that some thought. Well done, Soph. Excellent.
That's one of the biggest compliments. It's one of the biggest compliments you've ever given me, Hookie, so I'll absolutely take it. But I just think
well done.
The AFLW is growing, and I think this gives it a chance to even grow more. It's going to bring more viewership. That's more my point. It's going to bring more interest to the game, more people watching it, and I think it's a good starting point, something different.
I do think that if AFLW chases an image of AFL men's, then it will always be the poor cousin. And mm-hmm. I do think concepts like this that create a point of difference is something that it can drive interest in the league. I mean, they're 16 aside, is distinct from 18 aside. There's a whole host of things that they do that I find are fascinating. But that would be a real game changer, wouldn't it? Yeah, I'm liking your thinking there, Soph. Well done. Thank you for bringing that to us. Can I just share with you a little bit of footy news from around South Australia that I reckon mm-hmm. is fascinating? Byron Pickett Jr. booted his 100th goal for Western United. This is over in the Western Air League, so miles and miles and miles right over on the west coast of South Australia. He kicked 20 for the match against Thevenard, and he's booted 102 for the season in just 10 games. So this is the son of Byron Pickett, the North Melbourne and Port Adelaide player. He's booted 100 goals in 10 games. That's pretty amazing. A lad called Fraser Bradley from Hatherley in the Mid-South East League, he also kicked his 100th for the season. So congratulations to him. Interesting day for the Burton family, Soph. Ryan Burton delisted by the Port Adelaide Football Club today. On the same day, his dad, Craig, has resigned as CEO of the North Adelaide Football Club. He's off to take on the role as general manager of the Noosa Head Surf Club. Now, Burto, massive surf life-saving man, been very heavily involved in the Glenelg Surf Life-Saving Club for years, and the Noosa Head Surf Club is enormous. So that will be a great job for him. I know that's something he's really passionate about, but gee, North Adelaide will be disappointed to lose a very, very good operator. Just a bit more footy news from around the country zones in particular. BMW, now that is Boolaroo, Melrose, Wilmington. They play in the Northeast League. They had two guys who played their 300th game on the same day. So Caleb Gurdham, he's played 130 games of A grade, 170 of B grade. He played his 300th game for the club. And Joe Kosh, 98 games in the A grade, 192 in the B grade. Does that add up? That might not quite add up. I haven't got my maths absolutely right. But anyway, both of them playing their 300 games for the club. So congratulations to them. Interesting story out of the Hills League. Bridgewater Callington Raiders, they've only had a C grade team for the last couple of years. They're going to return to Hills footy playing both A grade and B grade. Former Crow Chris Laddams has been appointed the footy director at the club. It's their 70th anniversary next year. They've been through some really unusual movements all over the shop in the last decade or so. They merged with Callington in 2013. They actually merged with Iron Bank Cherry Gardens in 2023 and unmerged at the end of that year and then went into C grade only, and Iron Bank Cherry Gardens went off to the Southern League. And I mean, that's the end of a wedge for a footy club when you actually do away with an A grade and a B grade and only enter your A grade team in the C grade competition. But they're back, as I said, it's the 70th anniversary next year. So we'll watch that space. Good luck to them. They only won two games in the C grade this year. So that is a bold move to step back into that for next year. The other thing I think is interesting also from the Hills League, looks like Mount Pleasant will no longer be a football ground, which is really, really sad. Torrens Valley uses Mount Pleasant Oval as well as Mount Torrens Oval, but the council up there, which is the Barossa Council, has declared that Mount Pleasant is to become an equestrian venue. So I know the footy club is desperately hoping they can at least keep some juniors there. So that'll be one to watch as well. But I always get a little bit concerned about the amount of kids that increasingly wanted to play footy and, girls as well. And if we're losing those green spaces in those community areas, that's going to be unfortunate. So if you've got a cricket story for us as well.
I sure do. I felt like this was going to be a pretty AFL-dominated podcast this week, which completely makes sense. We're deep in footy season at the moment. but don't know if you got a chance but to watch him. But Mackenzie Harvey just scored 100 runs off 52 balls for the Strikers in the top end series against Bangladesh A. It's really underlying SA cricket's recruiting strength at the moment, I reckon, Ben. And I'm sure being the cricket guru, you definitely have an opinion on this one.
He was the leading run scorer for South Australia in their successful one-day cup competition last year. Got a couple of hundreds. Might have got 300s for South Australia in that competition and then played a really important knock in the final as well. So he's been signed by the Strikers. It'll be interesting to see how he goes. I mean, I did watch Travis Head and Mitch Marsh. I was in Mackay yesterday for their 250-run partnership. So let's not get ahead of ourselves. I don't think Mackenzie Harvey is going to play cricket for Australia necessarily anytime soon. But he's got to be in the conversation, I suppose, maybe to get an Australia A berth. He's in great form. South Australia will actually play Bangladesh A in some trial games up there in Darwin late next week. But, yeah, Mackenzie Harvey, what a pickup he's been.